Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Are we willing to beat the horse to death again? Absolutely. This is Wretched Radio. It is a horse we better get used to whooping. Hope nobody from PETA is listening to this, because it's just a euphemism, a metaphor, a figure of speech. The times, they aren't a-changing. The times have a-changed. They do, you know. Nothing really tends to stay static. We read history books about eras and epochs and worldviews and mentalities. Why would this era be any different? We should anticipate change. And we are seeing it on so many different levels. For instance, last night, we're walking, you know, getting our steps, because... Well, that's the latest trend, isn't it? You got to get 10,000 steps in a day. Who's got time for that many steps or whatever? So we're out doing the walking thing, and I run into a fellow. Well, that too is a figure of speech. Started talking about the generation that has come after us. After, I don't know what it is, baby boomers. What's after boomers? It was 1964, whatever that era is. And then you've got the millennials, and then you've got the Gen Z people. And this is a fellow who works with really Gen Zers and millennials. I think the average age of the ministry that he works at, get ready for this, and there's like 400 people who work there. It's very, very big. The average age is 26. Wow. And he said, and this was not delivered as some sort of scold or chide or critique. He said, this generation that is coming up, the Gen Z, Gen X generation, the millennials, it is as cross-cultural as if we were back doing missions in a foreign land. They did some missions work in Mexico. He said, this is as cross-cultural in our country with this generation as it was when we were missionaries in Mexico. Why? Well, you've got a generation that grew up in a different cauldron than you and I did. You and I, when we grew up, families were structured a certain way. There were a certain type of TV show that the family gathered around. Communication was connected to the wall. It didn't go anywhere, and yet use your finger to dial stuff. And you weren't in constant contact. And if you wanted to learn about a subject, you had to go to the library and check out a book. Or if your family had some means, maybe, just maybe, you had an encyclopedia set. But after a few years, that thing was dated too. So you have information, you have social structures, social mores, you had more two-parent families, you had more moms staying at home raising the kids. You change all of those things, and you change a person, and you change a culture. And it progressively morphs and it moves. And we need to be aware of that. Because, for instance, the conversation that I had with this fellow last night caused me to think, all right, so what do I want to do about that? What do I need to do about that? What is my Christian call in response to a younger generation that thinks and even acts differently than I do? Do I need to reclaim them to be baby boomers? You'd go, well, that's kind of dopey. That's not the Christian's business to get them to model their lives after yours because of the way that you were brought up. If it's not a sin issue, why would you bother? I don't need to change that next generation to be like me. It's not my job. My job is to preach the gospel. My job is to evangelize. That's your job too. So that somebody gets saved and God fixes their thinking along the lines of sanctification, not the way that they like to set up their office. Case in point. I like a small, just give me an office where I can be by myself. You've got a generation that's more like, no, man, open concept. Okay, do I need to start? What a waste of time for me to start persuading this. No. You need to have a private office and you need to be thinking like this. You'd go, you're chasing your tail. That's not the important stuff. The important stuff is that they start changing their thinking about sanctification, that they start getting their lives and their decisions and their practices in alignment with Jesus Christ, not your preference issues. Is there a greater application of that? I think there is. Just saw, seen several of these recently. Shirts, bumper stickers, where it was the mingling of Jesus and America, where the flag was like Jesus is almost wrapped in a flag, and we've heard this before. And believe me, I get the sentiment that we've lost our country. You ever heard that? We've lost our country. Let's drill down on that. What does that mean? You've lost your country. First of all, my question is this my country? Is this really where I am a citizen? Because the Bible tells me I'm not a citizen of a zip code. I don't fall under any flag but Christ's. My citizenship isn't even on this planet. It's in heaven, reserved for me in heaven. So why do I want to get my country back that I lost that really didn't belong to me? Look, I get it. Believe me, I get it. I understand why we like that the values and mores are based on Christian principles. I get that. But that is not the gospel. The gospel isn't simply getting people to behave the way that I think they should. I prefer that, thank you very much. It keeps me from getting stabbed or shot or my kids getting hurt. I prefer all of those things. But that's not Christianity. Christianity is proclaiming the gospel that people's hearts get regenerated and then God fixes their thinking. And he gets them in alignment with his values, and he does a much more custom job than I ever could and the Bible ever intends. My job is not to get people to act or behave or that we have the same customs that we had 20, 40, 50 years ago, because my citizenship isn't here, and those things have such small value compared to eternal things. What does that have to do with beating the horse to death? Our country has changed. It is just case in point. I'm sorry. I just distracted myself. One of my kids wrote on my notes. My daughter, hey, hi, hello, hola, with a smiley face. That has Haley written all over it. Here's the headline. Screenings of pro-life movie Unplanned canceled. This is up in Canada. Some theaters were going to run this movie. I heard overall good things about it. Overall, the message was powerful, and it did very well in the States. A couple of movies were going to run it, and they decided, hey, look, even though we knew that there were going to be some problems, we're not going to do it because they received death threats. Death threats for running a pro-life movie. They threatened the managers. They threatened the families of the theater owners. There were two that were death threats of a lot of scathing, aggressive responses to them showing a pro-life movie. Whoa. What's the times have changed. How do we respond to this? How do we deal with this? What is our attitude toward these things? Now, let's remember, I want those theater owners and managers and families to be safe. And I think it's fair to say, hey, government, do your God-assigned role. Protect people from evildoers. But if I limit it to that, what about the people who made the threats? What about the people who are pro-choice? I want to win them. I don't want to just get them to just have their bad behavior clamped down on. I want that. Why? Because Romans 13 says that's the government's job. But I, as a citizen of a different kingdom, I want something greater for them. I want something more eternal for them. I want them to be saved. Case in point of how the times have absolutely changed. Did you hear about this one? The APA, the American Psychological Association. They're now normalizing polyamory. That's no shock, is it? Those of us who said, you know, this whole marriage business is a slippery slope. Well, we've been slip-sliding away for a long time. The American Psychological Association has overseen a consensual non-monogamy task force. Isn't that the way it always starts? Well, we needed to have a task force to consider, rethink the issue, and study it a little bit. We'll get back to you with our predetermined conclusions. This task force claims people in such relationships are marginalized and need their practices to be normalized. These poor people who want to have multiple lovers. These poor people who just, they want to be intimate with animals. The APA Division Consensual Non-Monogamy Task Force promotes awareness and inclusivity about consensual non-monogamy and diverse expressions of intimate relationships. These include, but are not limited, people who practice polyamory, open relationships, swinging, relationship anarchy. Seems to me anarchy isn't really good for relationships. And other types of ethical non-monogamous relationships. There it is. Whoomp. Ethics being redefined. What is the Christian response? Next on Wretched Radio. Please, would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can through Bible League International to the persecuted church?
Aria was raised in a strict Muslim family. A woman invited her to a Bible study. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. She took her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. Her mother was rummaging through the house, found this. Gave it to her father. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They tortured her, did the same thing to the Christian friend. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ.
And they would love a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many as you are able to through Bible League International, $5 for a Bible to a persecuted Christian. Perhaps 6 per month? Wretched.org/Bible, Wretched.org/Bible.
Thank you for joining us. Always glad when you choose to spend part of your day with us at Wretched Radio. We are very excited for our new video series, Road Trip to Truth, hosted by John Fabares. Road Trip to Truth will take him to secular college campuses to talk with millennials about issues they struggle with. Things like, why is there evil in the world? What about those supposed errors in the Bible? Is there only one way to heaven? John will have the chance to talk with them and share the gospel with this depressed, anxious, and lost generation. And Road Trip to Truth will help you understand how to better witness to this younger generation. Would you be willing to partner with us? Go to wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate. Together, we can reach more people who are in desperate need of hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
I don't know. What?
A fsh. Get it? A fsh. Because there are no eyes?
Oh.
Our newest evangelistic booklet is titled, Are You a Rotten Fish? While there aren't any amazing jokes like that in it, it does provide a thorough presentation on true and false conversions. Jesus preached on the subject of true and false conversions with the parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish, and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct gospel response of repentance and faith versus incorrect responses like asking Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is hop on your computer or your phone and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies. That's fish with an I. So who do you know who might be a rotten fish? Order your copies at wretched.org/fish today. wretched.org/fish.
Important dates in Christian history. 385 AD. In Milan, Bishop Ambrose defies the Empress. This event helped to establish the precedent of the Church confronting the state when necessary to protect Christian teaching and oppose injustice and corruption in government. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You know, the nearer your destination, the more you
Bruce Line. This is Wretched Radio.
I'd call that country. A train wreck, but it was more of a horse wreck.
That was a music mix. You see, I'm beating the horse to death while the country is slip sliding away. But I can't help but wonder if what we are seeing in our culture, knowing full well that everything that we see being played out in civilizations has a lot more to do with a spiritual battle than the physical realms would seem to indicate. And I wonder if we aren't getting faked out a little bit. This is like the, this would be like Keurig. No, that's the coffee guy. The coffee maker, the Australian tennis player, very volatile, very talented, undisciplined, Kyrgios, I think is his name. And he was playing in a tournament. I don't know if it was Wimbledon. Sorry. I'm just still a little verklempt from Roger Federer losing in the fifth set. 13-12. Ah! So this fellow from Australia is playing Rafael Nadal in tennis at some tournament. And Nadal, as is his, the way that he manages the court, his strategy is to stand way back. This kid's a big server, so he's almost against where the stands are. And this kid does an underhanded serve, a little dribbler. And Nadal is so far back, he can't get totally duped. Deked out? Is that what it used to be called? It was a trick play. They do it in football, sometimes I guess in basketball, where they do the end around and the rope-a-dope and they do a trick play. I wonder if the devil isn't doing the same thing. I wonder. He's crafty, you know, and he is a master of deception. After all, he is the father of lies. If anybody's good at it, it is the devil. And as he goes about the business of trying to undermine what the Bible clearly says is going to be God's victory, you got to give the devil some props in that he is persistent. He has read the book. He knows the ending better than we do. He probably has a better understanding of Revelation than all of us put together. And the message of Revelation is the devil loses, Jesus wins, and we get to win with him. And yet, even though he's never been able to thwart God's plan of redemption, even though he wasn't able to get Herod to actually kill Jesus Christ, he wasn't able to tempt Jesus to get him to sin and fail in his mission. And by the way, make the entire universe disappear, because if God sinned, which he can't do, everything would be, nothing would work. That would be the devil win, an entire disaster. He's never been successful at that. And yet he tries and he tries and he tries. And it has always been my contention. He does it. His modus operandi is to create strategies and implement them through spiritual realms of authority. I think Ephesians 6 helps us with this, that somehow he has it structured so that he kind of masterminds, I think, the big ideas. And then he's got generals, and then he's got colonels, and he's got captains, and he's got foot soldiers in the spiritual realm. And they go about the business of implementing his big bad ideas. And many of them have not stuck. He's been thwarted way more times than he's been successful. Do you know how many Adolf Hitlers he's worked on? I would suspect a lot of them, but we only know of one of them. He's probably tried to raise up a lot of mass murderers, but only a few of them. He's thrown out a lot of bad religions. There are thousands of really wonky religious ideas. Why did Buddhism catch? Because God let it. Devil's idea, because anything that is not of God, God doesn't create false religious systems. The devil does. That one worked. Flim Flon, that's another religion, by the way. You've just never heard about it. But it started, by the way. Flim Flon was actually started, you're going to be surprised at this, Hawaii. In the 1940s, flim flam just never took root. It was the devil's idea, where he thought that if everybody would be attracted to wearing a lei around their neck, it would cause the ecosystem to go out of whack, because we would need all of those pretty flowers. And then he could cause global warming to bring an end to the planet. And flim flam just didn't work out. He's created a bunch of them. Hinduism stuck, Islam stuck. By the way, did you read the article, I think, in the New York Times that Buddhists are starting to go, you know, on second thought, maybe we're not going to be so peaceful toward Muslims anymore. They've pushed them to the brink, where even Buddhists are going, that's enough. We got to fight back now. Fascinating. Speaking of Islamic terrorism, it was in Here it is right here. Be praying for your brothers and sisters overseas, I'm telling you. This is in 100 men and women, Christians incinerated in well-targeted attack. The exact number of victims who died in Sobame Da, a mainly Christian village, this is in Africa, isn't known. Many of the bodies were burned beyond recognition. Death toll in this instance, 100 to 135. BBC reporting it was just the latest of the attacks by jihadi groups. No one was spared. Women, children, elderly people. Buddhists are going, you know, I think we've had enough of that. We're taking off the saffron robes. We're fighting now. By the way, another note, commissioned in December by Jeremy Hunt. This is a study about persecution from the Foreign Secretary in Great Britain. 80% of religiously motivated attacks in the world are against Christians. That is 80%, mostly by Muslims. So whose idea was Islam? The devil's. My wife's speculation? You can take this for whatever you think it's worth. The same angel that appeared, the same demon rather, that appeared to Muhammad was the same one that appeared to Joseph Smith and gave him his wacky ideas. It happened to stick. He's appeared to a lot of people. They just didn't stick. False systems popping up all over the place. Why? To undermine God, what he is doing, so that he thinks he can win. And he's not going to win because we know that Jesus wins. That's what the Bible tells us. And yet he persists. Now, the question for us is, what do we do? How do we respond to this? I think we're getting duped. I think we're getting a trick play thrown against us where we're going, the country's slipping away, when we should be going, souls are slipping away. This is a sign of a deeper problem. I loved the America from yesteryear a lot, too. That isn't my point. But we are citizens of a different kingdom. And I wonder if the devil is throwing us a lob this way and we're chasing after it when the big issue is over there. And it's keeping our eyes from it. And our eyes should be on evangelism. What does it profit pretty much anybody if, let's just say, for instance, polyamory, according to the APA, so now the DSM-5 says that polyamory is a mental illness. And by the way, another study that was done in Great Britain, a bunch of scientists concluded all of the scientific labels that psychiatrists put on people, they're completely worthless. We knew that. Nevertheless, what does it matter if all of a sudden the DSM-5 kind of gets in order and they see that, look, if you're born with these parts, you're a boy. If you're born with those parts, you're a girl. Well, that's a good thing, right? It's a good thing. But what if those people who come to their senses and recognize that there's male and female, period, die and go to hell? Huh? What if all the people who are confused about their gender, and there are people who are confused about it, you and I don't get that, but they are. So let's say they're unconfused. That's good. But they die and go to hell. Is it possible? I'm just wondering, as we see a country slip sliding away, that we're chasing after, we got to get that back. And that's really more of the devil's scheme to distract us from, no, we've got to be soul winners. We've got to be about our master's business. And I wonder, the Benedict option, I don't know if you're familiar with this. The Benedict option is one that's being floated by a Roman Catholic. Was it Rod Dreher that floated that? I believe so. That going back to like a Benedictine monk back hundreds of years ago, we got to kind of pull it in. We got to just kind of get this close community and create our own little Christian ecosystem. Well, okay, but I don't think so. I don't think that's what we're supposed to be, though, is the church. I would ask you a question. As we come into political season here, will you spend as much time having angst over these dopey liberal politicians as you will for an unreached people group in your neighborhood? Just asking. I'm asking. I'm just wondering. Will I spend as much time sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ as I will talking to people about this party, that platform, who's voting, why this person should win, why that person should lose. How much time will I dedicate to the, while they're not irrelevant things, but the not eternal things? Is it possible that as we watch a country and an entire civilization slip, slide away, and it's a bummer, and I get the value of it getting fixed, that it's distracting us from the greater task? And the greater task is sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just with the lost world we live in, but with our families. Are these distractions even keeping us from evangelizing the people we love the most? Just wondering if we need a priority check. This is Wretched Radio.
Know your church fathers. Athenagoras was a Christian philosopher in Athens who used his training to defend the Christian faith against Roman persecution. He wrote On the Resurrection of the Dead, arguing that the nature of God, the nature of humanity, and the concept of justice only makes sense if there is a physical resurrection. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The most organized Christian talk show on this station at this time. This is Wretched Radio. Psychiatric diagnoses have little to no scientific validity, new study suggests. This is from technology.org. A reminder that when secularists claim the territory of emotional healing, we've got to say, sorry, that's not your realm. And this just demonstrates it. Historically, I have said, can we allow secular psychiatry to do anything, contribute anything to the conversation of biblical counseling? And I've said in a very limited way, yes. They can observe and they can diagnose, create categories and say, well, this person has this, this person has that. And that can be helpful. Let them do the studies. Let them spend the money on it, and we'll just reap the benefits from it. Maybe not even that much, at least if this particular study is accurate. Biblical counseling recognizes that there can be people who have they have organic issues. There is something inside of them, chemically, their wiring, it's off, and it needs help, like you've got a headache, you take a Tylenol. You've got an issue with a brain function or an organ function, because your brain is an organ. Your brain isn't you. Your spirit is you. This is just the mechanism, the physical body that God has given to us. We are not a finger, and we're not a brain. And that's not what constitutes you. It's an organ, and if it's broken in some way, and if medicine can help that, which is very dubious at best, but if it can help it, okay, we would be open to that. Or somebody comes into a biblical counseling office and says, I'm really depressed. Okay, let's talk about what's going on in your life. It's funny. Our vet is a better biblical counselor than some people who claim to do Christian counseling. When we moved this land about 2 years ago, we did the big downsize routine. This is going to be TMI for you. You might not dig this anecdote. Will that stop me from using it? Absolutely not. Everything was fine. We were busy running around, doing this, doing that. Everything changed, routines, patterns, including the lifestyle of our dog, who one day, as we went to clean up our canine bowel movement, noticed, there's some blood there. All right, well, a drop or two, you let that go. It kept increasing. We thought we could Google this situation and get it under control. So we went to the pet store to get a new type of food, something like that. And the lady at the register, as we're checking out with what we thought was the cure, looked at us and said, you don't want to step backwards. Look down. Our dog basically had exploded from the opposite end all over the floor in the pet store. Pshh, off we go to the vet that happened to be open at night. And I'm telling you, I thought I was in a movie where it's where the city slicker has to go out to the country and spend time with these bumpkins, and he learns that country living ain't so bad, and these people really aren't rubes after all. You know that formula. I felt like I was in it because the doctor came into the room where we're holding our dog, who was bleeding out his backside. Hey, folks. Very Southern guy. I think he went to UGA, played football there. Been doing this vet stuff for 40 years. How you doing? And I'm thinking, I'm not a medical doctor. I think the unspoken agreement here is you're here for my dog to take care of him, not to investigate what's going on in our private lives. So tell me, what's been happening lately? Any big events in your life? We moved. I see. Was it a good move? Get to the dog! So trying to be as patient as he was being polite and kind, I endured the grilling on our lives and our moving from one area to the from one home to the next. And when he was done talking to us about our move, he said, "Well, I'll be back in just a moment with a prescription for your cute little dog here." What? He didn't even touch my dog. He comes back in with a prescription to say, "You know, I had something similar when I was taking boards to become a vet. It made me so nervous and upset. It can actually affect your stomach lining, and it can cause you to bleed. And that's what's going on with your dog. He's upset because of the move. This will calm things down. Feed him this kind of food. Thanks for stopping by." What? What? I was so impatient. A good vet and a good biblical counselor goes, "Talk to me. What's going on? What's happening? Why is this going on in your life? What about this? Tell me more about that." And you ask good questions. Been talking about that from a book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, that if you want to help somebody, and you don't have to be a biblical counselor for this, you need to ask probing questions. What's going on? The example that I recall from this book is, if, for instance, Joey said that he was in a fight with Carla. You're in a fight with Carla?
Yes, I'm in a fight with Carla.
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to, and then off I go, because I've defined fight one way. And I didn't stop to go, "Why don't you tell me about that fight? What did it look like? What precipitated that? What was going on? Was there something that kind of triggered that set it off? Have there been other arguments like that going on? What's happening with the kids? Are there any sort of financial pressures?" Now that is understanding what is going on in his world so that I can correctly apply the right cure to the right malady. And it looks like maybe, just maybe, the APA, the Psychiatric Association, rather, for the DSM-5, might be coming to that conclusion a little bit. By performing a detailed analysis of schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, depressive disorders, anxiety disorders, and trauma-related disorders, all entities listed on the DSM-5, researchers from the University of Liverpool have found, that was my Beatles impression, have found all of them to be scientifically meaningless. Whoa. Although diagnostic labels create the illusion of an explanation, they are scientifically meaningless and can create stigma and prejudice. This is from Dr. Kate Alsop, was one of the lead researchers. "I hope these findings will encourage mental health professionals to think beyond diagnoses and consider other explanations of mental distress, such as trauma and other adverse life experiences. In other words, maybe not everything is organic." Who's there? Biblical counseling. We've been waiting for you. This is exactly what biblical counseling talks about. Can there ever be organic issues? Yes. Majority of time. Trauma is a big issue. It really is a very big issue. And some, you might not think somebody's traumatic experience is, but they do, and it is. And it's not to be postmodern, but you might go, "That's nothing. You should have, yeah, my stepdad, he beat me twice a day with a rock." Okay, well, that was more, but it doesn't matter. If the person was traumatized, they were traumatized. And maybe that's an explanation for many of these things. I thought this was almost like an admission. "You know, we really don't have a handle on this. Is there anybody else got something?" Yeah, we got something. We got a playbook. We've got a Bible. We've got an instruction manual to help people with emotional healing. And we recognize that while it can be organic, most of the time, depending on the malady, of course, you're dealing with some really, really, really confused emotions, bad thinking, bad responses to bad experiences because of the fall. Besides, we need to remember mental illness. It is so tricky. I don't know about you, but my life experiences inform my thinking on a lot of issues, just like they do for all of us. Somebody just sent me a meme, or the GIF. It was Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'm just telling you, that's what I think of as mental illness. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That's not mental illness. Mental challenges, it goes way beyond that. And it... people with mental issues, challenges, and struggles, special needs, they go to work. They've got job. They just have some challenge. It is so broad. And the psychiatrists want to put it in these little neat categories, label it as being something organic, and then prescribing something rather than dealing with the person. Back to the article. The psychiatric categories used by most experts in the field of psychiatry today have been found to be based on divergent decision-making rules. Significantly overlap in terms of symptoms. Yep, there's very few clean sort of categories for this. Mask the role of trauma and other adverse life events and provide very little information on patient circumstances and the types of treatment they might respond to. In conclusion, the authors suggest a move away from medical-sounding labels which have little basis in actual symptomatology or underlying biochemistry and focus more on the complex causes of human distress on a case-by-case basis. And to all of the members of the DSM-5 and the secular psychiatric community, I would simply like to say on behalf of all biblical counselors, welcome to our world. We've been doing that for a long time, and maybe, just maybe, their contribution to biblical counseling needs to be even more limited. This is Wretched Radio. If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsen, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandma used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Wretched is going to prison. Well, Wretched Resources are going to prison, and we need your help. Our gospel booklet resources, Don't Stub Your Toe, What Time is Purple, and Rotten Fish, are going to be given away for free to prison ministries to distribute to inmates. That's where you come in. We can't do this without our gospel partners. See, the more you give, the more we are able to give away. Without your generous support, we wouldn't be able to give away these resources for free to prison ministries. So if you're interested in supporting Wretched, please visit wretched.org/donate and become a gospel partner today. Wretched.org/donate. Now, if you're a prison ministry interested in distributing Wretched resources to inmates, please contact jen@wretched.org. That's J-E-N, jen@wretched.org. Let's get the gospel into prison. Visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate.
Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
That young woman come in, 18, with a boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took her back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst a preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, I guess if you don't like multiple spouses, then don't have a lot of them. This is Wretched Radio. Get ready, Christian. Polyamory, it's coming your way, and it is being crammed down our throats. You know, scientifically, I had mentioned the American Psychological Association, the APA, overseeing a consensual non-monogamy task force. Because we have to study these things scientifically. What? You're studying relationships. How is that testable? How is that verifiable? How is that repeatable? How is that observable? You can't do it. And yet another overreach from the American Psychological Association, jumping on the slippery slope train to polyamory, bestiality, pedophilia. It's all in the pipeline. They have a task force to study the issue, to promote awareness, so that we don't look down on people who have multiple friends with benefits. And they're calling it science. From the article, this by the way, this article appeared in many different websites. The task force aims to, quote, generate research, create resources, and advocate for the inclusion of consensual non-monogamous relationships in the following areas. Now, wait a second. Why does it need to be consensual? Huh? Why? Yeah. I'm really glad that the world doesn't live out its worldview. I'm really glad that the world is better than its worldview. Don't know if you watched Wimbledon. Sorry. I'm still not over the Federer loss. Oh, and he had two match points in the fifth set. At any rate, in the men's doubles, they got Mahout. I think he's French. Kind of a tall, gangly fellow. He was on the baseline. He hit a short lob. The guy at the net, I think he was from Colombia, who ended up winning, he just hit an overhead smash. Very typical. Wasn't aiming for the guy. It was about 113, 14 miles an hour. But the guy was on the baseline. I don't think I've ever seen this before. If you've ever played doubles, somebody tends to get hit. It just happens. That's the configuration of it. And typically, you just kind of roll. You turn your body so that you don't get your face hit. You protect your eyes and the things that are more precious to you than, say, I don't know, a shoulder blade. He didn't turn. Instead, he tried to put up his racket in an odd way and his other hand, and the ball snuck through, and it hit him in the soft spot right above his left eye. Dropped him. And immediately, the guy who hit the lob, I'm just going to guess he's not a Christian, he responded like a Christian. He cared. And he went running over. And then so did the medical professionals. Now, if they were extending their evolutionary worldview, that should have been the end of the match, and everybody should have said, the stronger couple won. We just weeded out the weak. Maybe we'll be kind for no reason, because kindness doesn't exist in the evolutionary construct. We'll give him an ice pack, but otherwise, you're done. Haul him off the court. We have the fitter species, the better doubles player. We've weeded out the weak. But they don't do that. They live like Christians, and they use Christian constructs to build a car to put Christians into to drive us over a cliff. Sorry, you can't do that with our worldview. Try to do it with your own, but they can't. They live better than their own worldview. And that's a really, really good thing. This whole non-monogamous relationship, why not? If I'm stronger and I can coerce 17 women to live underneath my thumb, why not? Evolutionist, why not? APA, you have no business defining morality. You can't tell anybody what's good or bad. So they try to open up Pandora's box. They want to exhibit Romans 1, but do it in a scientific way, sort of the same way that they suppress the obvious conclusion God exists by suppressing that truth. By what mechanism? Evolution. Science explains the natural things that we see in this world. We have naturalistic explanations. No God needed. Same thing now is true for morality, and they're overstepping their bounds radically. So here is how they're going to try to create resources and do general research and advocate for inclusion. Basic and applied research, education and training, psychological practice, and public interests. Huh. You know what I'd like to do again? Let's just replace one sin with another, because they don't see polyamory as a sin. The Bible says it is a sin. So let's just replace it with one that I think that they would agree that's bad, rape. The task force aims to generate research, create resources, and advocate for the inclusion of rape in the four basic areas of basic and applied research, education and training, psychological practice, and public interest. You'd go, you don't need to study that. That's wrong, because they get rape. Polyamory, thumbs up for that. This is the APA moving away from scientific to, well, trying to drive the culture. Sadly, this is from Jennifer Robach Morse. She's a good writer, and I believe she's Roman Catholic, but her social studies are very fine. Sadly, quote, heterosexual couples began the degradation of marriage with the institution of no-fault divorce, which, by the way, 1968, you can thank, salute, Governor Ronald Reagan. He's the one who signed it into law in California, opened it up for the country. Wah and la. We've got no-fault divorce. Everybody can get divorced for any reason. What did we do? We degraded marriage, the institution of marriage. It is not a holy matrimony. It's a does-it-work-for-me state of affairs. That's the contract. What do I get out of this? If I don't, I'm out of it. With marriage redefined as easily dissoluble, then as no longer male and female, it seemed only a matter of time before it would be redefined to include numerous people or inanimate objects. And here we are. I wonder. Can't make a prediction on this one. I don't think it's going to come true, at least anytime soon. I wonder if the number of pastors and churches who have stopped preaching about the evils of divorce and the definition of roles, where a dad does the labor to bring home the bacon while the mom is the nurturer and the tenderer. I just wonder, as our culture continues to slip and slide away, if maybe some pastors might be emboldened to go, hey, let's be countercultural. Let's do something that'll get people's attention. After all, that is what a lot of these pragmatic churches are about. And that maybe we discover, you know what, we've got a better way. These people, look, maybe the guy in a pot, because it's usually that way. So I guess it's sometimes a woman and multiple men, but it's typically going to be a man and multiple women. I don't believe those women are happy. No, I know they're not happy, and here's why. They're not doing it God's way, and anytime you don't do it God's way, you're not happy. You can pretend you're happy. You can say that you loved your abortion and you do it all over again. You're not, because you're not doing it God's way. And anytime even a pagan does things their own way and not the Lord's way, they feel it. And maybe it's time for the Christian church to start going, God hates divorce. God hates your redefining of marriage. Are you sick of it? There's a reason for it. It's because God doesn't command it to be that way. You are falling outside of God's definitions and your life is miserable. You know it. The Bible knows it. So how's about admitting it? And how's about repenting of it? How's about being forgiven for it? And how's about having your feet set on a rock in high places to understand realities you can't even fathom at the moment, to see how the world really operates, what is going on, why things function the way that they do, and that your soul will have an afterlife. It will go on forever. You know that, don't you, world? You know that. You know that you're not going to be worm food. That's why you're terrified of it. You know that there is an expectation of judgment. It's built, it's hardwired right into you. Would you like to be relieved of that fear? You can. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you need to come to the Lord with fear, trembling, humility, with a desire to be with the one who is better than any sin you can ever commit. Your marriages can be different. Your families will be different. I don't know if this will make sense. We were getting our steps last night. We were walking by, and there was a guy, looked a little bit like a thug, was with this young lady, and she, quite honestly, she looked like she was on drugs. I don't know what, perhaps I'm imagining it. But I imagine this in my mind, that as she's maybe walking along, kind of high, maybe that guy was helping, maybe they were in it together, I don't know. But that isn't really my point, I guess. I wonder if she just looked at us walking down the street hand in hand on our way back to our little suburban hovel, to our boring little lives, and went, that's stability. Might be dull, but wow, there's something about that. I'd like to have that. And I just can't help but wonder if it is time for us to start being more bold with our radical way of living. This might be a little early in the game, but they're looking at us like we're total knuckle-dragging Neanderthals. And instead of trying to fight to reclaim the country and to vie for values, we start going, yeah, let me tell you how beautiful it is. Let me tell you how wonderful it is to be married to the same woman for my entire life. To only be intimate with one person and one person. You think that's dull? Oh, let me tell you how amazing that is. And let me tell you what it's like when everybody plays their roles, the flourishing that happens, the stability for children, how they just turn out better, and you'll be happier along the way. All of that, yours in Christ. But they'll never know it if we don't proclaim it. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.